Growing up, heavy metal music wasn't as accepted as it is today. Well, it's still considered fairly lowbrow, relegated to the back pages of music weeklies in every city. It's basically an afterthought for most music critic types. But the prowess it takes to play it stands in complete contradiction with its persistent disregard in pop culture. TV shows like Beavis and Butthead and movies like FUBAR, American Movie, and the recent Anvil documentary have done little to dispel the stereotype of the heavy metal idiot obsessed with beer and getting laid. Or should I say, the inability to get laid. We've all laughed at it, but in recent years there's been a shift, and metalheads are beginning to take back ownership and market the innate humor in heavy metal themselves. TV shows like Metalocalypse poke fun at the music, but it's easy to see it's metalheads poking fun. And at the end of the day, it's funnier because it's accurate. Comedians like Jim Florentine and Don Jameson have gone on to do That Metal Show on VH1 and put out their respective records on Metal Blade. Brian Posehn has put out a record on Relapse. Jason Rouse has performed at Download. The Australian comedian Steve Hughes is even in bands himself. Comedian Jim Brewer has distinguished himself by not only aligning his love of metal with his stand-up, but going so far as to seamlessly impersonate revered singers like Rob Halford and Brian Johnson, to the point where it leaves one wondering why Brewer isn't legitimately singing in a band himself. I caught up with Brewer at this year's Wacken Open Air Festival in Germany, where I too was performing, but not with a band. This year, I did 2 days of... well, it was billed as spoken word, but I called it lectures. That's right. I did 2 days of lectures on Kiss. I was lecturing about the rock band Kiss. Not stand-up, not spoken word, lectures. Lectures on Kiss. It was me for 2 days and Henry Rollins for the last 2 days. Jim was doing 2 days, too, of his stand-up slash metal set. And a few hours before he was going to perform his first set, I knocked on his door, and what you're about to hear is what happened. I have to say that Jim Brewer is one of the most down-to-earth, likable guys you can find. He was approachable. He was welcoming. I'm not used to doing podcasts on my own with guests, especially with people I just met. But I don't think you'll get that impression here, and all credit goes to Jim for making me feel very comfortable before the podcast and after the podcast. Now, there are a few disclaimers that come with this particular podcast episode. Firstly, the rumbling noise that you hear in the background is the air conditioner in Jim's dressing room. It was my fault. We should have turned it off before we started rolling, but Jim was pressed for time. Ole, our webmaster who was accompanying me for the Wacken trip, had set up the mics, but he also had to catch his shuttle to the airport. So there was a lot of stuff going on, and the AC was an oversight. After listening to the recording, though, it doesn't really matter because the good stuff was caught on tape. So secondly, Jim was simultaneously recording for his Sirius XM radio show while we were recording my podcast. So he had one mic in one hand recording his show and another Yeti Blue Mic microphone in his face recording our podcast. And he kept switching from mic to mic, which might be the reason why he appears farther away at times during the recording. I will say this, every Jim Brewer appearance, whether it's on TV or comedy, a comedy special he's doing, or a Howard Stern appearance he's on, is always accompanied by his now signature impressions of Joe Pesci, James Hetfield, and Lars Ulrich, but not on this podcast. Jim is really candid here, and in my book, that outweighs any peripheral noise or any kind of impressions you want to hear when you hear the name Jim Brewer. So if you're digging this podcast, especially this episode, please leave a ratings or even a review in the iTunes store. That's all we ask. It's free to listen to. It's free to download, so that's all we ask. We want this podcast to get ranked on iTunes, and I believe we deserve to be. I think this podcast is doing quite well. But I've never really been able to jive with the powers that be in management or companies or what have you, labels or whatever. So the same goes for the rankings on iTunes, I suppose. But who cares? At least I do this podcast because I love doing it, and that's all that matters. So this is one of the first, this is the first of a little series that I'm doing here at the Vakken Open Air. These are the Vakken podcast series. And this is the first one I did with Jim Brewer. I want to give out a very special thanks to Blue Mic Microphones, who provided the microphones for this episode. And this is actually our very first episode abroad. I didn't realize that. But I want to thank Blue Mic for really helping out. They support the podcast. It's just great. Thank you guys so much. Okay, here it is. This is the first Vakken podcast with Mr. Jim Brewer from this year's Vakken Open Air Festival on the official Danko Jones podcast. And it starts now. So I'm here at Vakken. I just finished the second lecture that I've been doing. And when I stepped off stage, the first thing that came to my mind was Mr. Jim Brewer. And because I had to talk to him and do a podcast with him, I'm very excited to meet Mr. Jim Brewer. We all know him from SNL, 4 years on Saturday Night Live. I'm an SNL buff. Half-baked.
You're a performer.
Yep.
Now, the first thing, when I first saw you and you say you're big with Saturday Night Live, I immediately thought you were Freddie Armisen.
Who? Who?
I went to high school with.
Oh.
And who's on Saturday Night Live right now. We graduated together. Me and Freddie graduated together. And you and Freddie have this very similar... A, you have a similar look. You look identical. And the other thing, Freddie's got this deep... intellectual, very heavy thinking way about him that I instantly...
Portlandia.
Yes, I instantly have a connection with, but it's funny because most people in that world don't have that connection with me because they just assume I'm just the dopey, whatever, half-bakedy, whatever guy.
Yeah.
And I keep that side pretty quiet and pretty... I keep it very secretive.
I understand.
But that just blew me away when you were saying a big Saturday Night Live guy. I immediately thought, wow, Freddie Armisen's at my door here in Vakken. Who would have thought?
Well, I don't want to invite like 100 comments on YouTube and Facebook, but it's not the first time I've been told that I look like Fred Armisen. But I think he's hilarious. He always cracks me up no matter... you know, where the show is going. So he's awesome.
I was 16, 17 years old. I knew I wanted to become a stand-up comedian. And I also wanted to be the first rock slash... top comedian, where I would draw my stage sets where I would come out as the comedian and then come out as the rock guy.
And I've seen you already incorporate both.
Okay, which is what I'm going to do today.
Right.
And hopefully it'll fly. But the first documentary and style of that I really learned from was the Scorpions Worldwide Live documentary.
Double album.
Yes. Double album.
Fuck yeah.
And the documentary, and then they would play at MTV. But I actually ordered, not Klaus Main,
Rudolf Schenker.
Rudolf Schenker's pants. He had these leopard skin pants that he'd wear all the time. And when I tried the pants on, this was a pivotal part in little Jim Brewer's life and career. My father, like this World War II vet garbage man, is staring at me just as I was putting on these like spandex leopard skin pants. And I, at the top of the stairs, I just hear him going, "What are you doing?" I said, they're metal. Rise of Scorpions. They're pants, Dad. I'm going to do rock." And I could tell in his eyes he was just defeated because maybe he thought I was going into the all-male route. I totally think...
Playing
for the other team. And he just looked so heartbroken. He shook his head. And I just tried to prove to him, like, no, it's not like that. It's rock. It's metal. It's a statement. It's against the machine. I don't have to wear slacks or jeans. You don't get it. It's whatever I want. And it, I looked ridiculous in the pants, and that was the first pivotal moment where I went, let me go 100% stand-up comedy, and I'll revisit that again. And that's exactly what I did, and I started opening for rock bands and working in rock clubs. That was my first stand-up comedy, but it all kind of sparked from the Scorpions in that moment.
It's funny that you should mention, like, your mixing rock with comedy, because now, in 2012, what are your thoughts on this, almost this whole genre onto itself, with you and Don Jameson and Jim Florentine and Brian Posehn and Andrew Hughes, all these guys that are coming out as full-blown rock and roll, metalheads, you know, whatever it is, whatever you want to call hard rock music, because Kiss has been called a rock and roll band and a heavy metal band, whatever you want to call it, wearing it on their sleeve, being embraced by the metal community, you know, like Brian Posehn and Anthrax, Jim Florentine and Don Jameson have been in our videos, and they're, you know, but, you know, they got one foot in that with that metal show, and then, you know, fucking, they're playing with Dice. So, like, I mean, to me, it's just, and Jim Norton, too, like, Norton. With Ozzy and all that stuff. So how do you feel about, like, being, you know, right there at the epicenter of all this that's going on now?
Well, I 100%, it makes me, I'll tell you this. I'm going to say I was the, not that it means anything, but I'm the first guy that jumped in that arena.
Yeah.
I talked about going to metal concerts and being part of metal and incorporating hard rock and metal into the show. Me and Brian Posehn spent a lot of, not a lot of time, but he was the first comedian I spent time with, I'm going to say in the early 90s, and what connected us was metal. We started talking about Judas Priest and Maiden and how funny those times were, and hey, did you ever see Parking Lot and all that, so I was really excited when I started seeing Brian kind of entering that world. As far as that metal show, believe it or not, that was supposed to be me and Eddie Trunk. VH1 asked me and Eddie Trunk to do that metal show.
I did not know that.
Not many people do. And I created the Stump the Trunk. And what I wanted to bring to the table was more of the comedy and kind of what I've done with other bands and do game shows and bring more of the funny side, because I do, I have run in and spent time with Tommy Lee and the guys from Alice in Chains and AC/DC and Metallica, and no one's really tapped into their other side. It's always about, hey, what was it like with this album and that, blah, blah, where I've seen their human sides, which naturally coincide with comedy. They're all really funny. Some of the hardest laughs I've had are with Brian Johnson and Lars Ulrich and James Hetfield. I've laughed so hard with those guys. It's those are the guys I grew up with in school. So with that metal show, I know Don Jameson and Florentine, we also would connect in that world. Just kind of, so it's, we've all hit our perfect venues for that outlet. I think with James and Don, it makes all the sense in the world. They're very, very metal. I'm the only one in the family world, so I'm still trying to figure out how do I incorporate the family
with
all this.
Jim just had a kid.
Right. So I think I'm still the only one in the family world, and I've kind of, I would love to do a full-blown tour where it's just me, Posehn, Jameson, and Florentine.
Oh, that is a fucking meltdown.
And that is a meltdown. Bring the band, do whatever songs we do, and you can't tell me that is not a worldwide kick-ass metal comical tour. I mean, that is, I don't know where the promoters are for that, but we're going to get the entire Metal Hard Rock Society as part of that, and I think this year I'm going to work on, and Norton, and just formulate that as that's an arena tour.
That's kind of like when they had the Kings of Comedy.
Yes.
It's kind of like that, except it's all metalheads.
Right.
And that would be
awesome. I think we're on to something there.
Well, now, you mentioned all those guys. Now, Possein is on Relapse, and Florentine and Jameson are on Metal Blade. Now with the industry kind of like fluttering and not knowing where it's going, especially, well, with music, but then comedy's always like an afterthought when it comes to record labels. Have you found a home?
I have not found a home. I've been searching for a home. I've talked with a lot of different metal companies. You know, the one thing
Brian Slagle from Metal Blade. Come on, Brian.
I don't know Brian much. I think the key element here, which makes me different from the rest of the pack, the other pack strictly goes after metal. I go after metal and family. My goal, if it was 10 years ago, I'd be doing what all those guys are doing, which is what I was doing. 10 years ago,
I hear you, man.
Florentine does and Jameson and Nord. I was talking about metal, brought the metal band. We were doing stand-up comedy with the metal and all that jazz. However, now, I want to be the Wiggles for adults. I want a man my age to be able to go watch kick-ass, hands-down hard rock metal with the show. However, I can bring my 12-year-old, my 8-year-old, my 14-year-old without worrying about, hey, you know, F this, and, you know, and yep, the whore, and you on her face, and this and that. I also have this thing where, you know, metal was always part of the devil, and it had this demon, dark, evil attachment to it, where I was always like, no, it's not, no, you're putting it in that world. It's not always in that world. And I want to be able to take metal, hard rock and metal, and be able to put it in the family arena. And I think I'm pretty damn close to it. And I think this year I will accomplish that. And that's why, like, today at Wacken, when I'm doing bingo, and I'm doing the kids' song bingo, but right, it's Brian Johnson, right, Halford, Ozzy and James Hetfield singing it.
Yeah,
I think the eyes will all go, oh, now we get it.
Right.
So it's a fine line too. You don't want to make it corny. I don't want it to be corny. I want it to be metal and kick it, because metal's about kicking ass and sounding amazing. But I want it to be family. Right. So that's what I'm looking to accomplish this year. Did I answer a question?
Yeah, yeah. I'm following the thread here. And to me, when you say that, the first person that goes through my head is Bill Cosby.
Well, yeah. I advertise myself as I'm the modern-day Cosby, but with a Metallica shirt.
Right.
I'm not wearing a sweater. I'm modern-day Cosby, but I'm wearing a Metallica shirt. That's really the only difference.
And as a comedy head, I don't mean Bill Cosby from the 80s sitcom. I mean the records.
Yes.
All the records that he put
great
out.
Great storytelling.
Yep.
Great characters.
Russell, my brother.
Yes. And that is where I'm at.
Right.
But like I said, Metallica shirt instead of the sweater.
Right. I gotcha. Now, the one thing that always, every time I hear you do your impressions, and anybody listening out there who doesn't know or hasn't heard Jim Brewer do James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, but more importantly, like Rob Halford vocals, the first thing that cuts to my head is, okay, it's an impression, you pull it off, but then everybody's wondering, why aren't you doing this for real? Because there's a clip on YouTube, and anybody out there, do a search. Sebastian Bach, Jim Brewer, Rob Halford, trading verses on a Halford track, and I sing for a living. I cannot stand on the same podium trading verses with two of the greatest hard rock singers of all time. Why are you not doing a legit, real, no funny stuff, real band?
Well, again, I constantly, you know, James Hetfield kind of inspired me this year without realizing he inspired me. Like, he He was talking about how Tenacious D opened up for some of the dates.
Another connection, yeah.
And I say that about Jack Black. When I first heard Jack Black and I listened to him, I go, all right, I get the comical thing, but why are you not putting out one freaking song that's serious? Because Jack Black has an amazing voice. His voice is sick.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, when you see the first song that I'm going to do today, it's called Heavy Metal Man. It's comical, but at the same time, it's real. I have that demon in my head where, are people really going to take you seriously if you're the metal girl? Even though I know I can pull it off. I know I can pull it off.
Yeah.
But is it... I put comedy aside, but it confuses your audience.
I see.
It confuses your audience where they're going, is he trying to be serious? Is he... what is he doing? Is he left this world to just be a singer now? I think I could pull it off in the Europe world and outside the States world. And I have toyed with this idea, and I have done my own rock and roll show years ago where it was just original music. I thought it was very thought-provoking. It scared me a little bit. But to answer your question, I've thought about it, but I truly think this is the beginning and opening of that door is what I'm doing right now.
Can I throw a suggestion out?
Please. Please.
Don't go into a band as Jim Brewer.
Fair enough.
Just change your name. It doesn't have to be as wild as King Diamond or...
No, The Brew. I already thought, dude, I've been there.
Forget The Brew. Just call yourself Dave. Dave Smith, and just fucking do it.
Gunnar Olsen.
That's even better.
Gunnar.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm of the belief that if you believe in it enough, it's the difference between how do you, from a band opening all the time, we were always going, well, when are we going to open? When are we going to headline? And then someone in another band just said, book a show with you as the headliner, and people will just have to start accepting the fact that you are a headlining act. And that's what we started doing. Sure, there was like a few people in the crowd, but eventually it was sold out.
You developed your crowd. You created your crowd. And it doesn't matter if there's 10, 8, 15 of them. They like you. They'll follow you.
Well, Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned. I mean, he's a drummer, and that's a little... not as personal as a singer, and that's what you are with your voice and your comedy, but I see Richard Christie on a legit metal label. Of course, he's got the metal, you know, history too, but he's doing some of the funniest phone calls I've ever heard in my life, and then he's turning around and playing like with Tim Ripper Owens.
Right.
And one's batting an eye. That's how I'm seeing it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He's also got that huge platform of Howard Stern.
Yeah.
But
so do you, though.
You're right. And what he's got that's genius about it is, which I know too, Howard is so big, so powerful, and so influential. He'll drive his audience to look at you, but it's up to you to have that product to make sure you keep them happy and keep doing it. I have that. Richard has it.
Sure.
And so we are in that position, and again, hopefully this time next year, you'll be saying, I love your first single.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I would love it, because there's not too many people who can really, I mean, you are Mark Wahlberg. You are rock star Mark Wahlberg. You could be the Rob Halford Subin from... You could be the Tim Ripper Owens. It could have been you and Tim at the last audition in front of fucking, you know, Tipton and Downing, and they went with Tim Ripper Owens. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I saw that clip, man, like, I don't care about, you know, anyone can do an impression of a movie star, but if you're going to do a singer, you're one degree away from putting out your own record.
Well, you've inspired me. You've inspired me. You have no clue how you inspired me just in this conversation. You actually you don't even realize this, for my performance today, I'm not worried, but I feel the need. I will be accepted, and I need to show them what it will be. I'm a little under the weather, but this single conversation just made me realize I'm going to take the threshold today, and I'm going to make a statement, and it's going to be on come 5:30 when it's over.
I can't implore enough to everybody check it out, because Sebastian Bach's hero vocally is Halford.
Oh.
He loves Halford. He even plays with Bobby from the Halford band, is in Sebastian's band. So we're talking about Halford. To me, it's like Dio, Halford, Ozzy, and maybe Ian Gillan. And there's like, well, there's going to be a lot of Deep Purple fans who are mad at that. But okay, I'll put Ian in there as well. Those four guys, I mean, there's no, like, if you can come close to it, like Sebastian's come close to it. He's not how he's made his, he's carved his own voice. You can even breathe the air that those guys breathe. Dude, you held your own. You did a version on your own, and then fucking Halford comes in, and there's just no hesitation. I was laughing because I can't do that. And we're looking at the Vakken poster here at Vakken. A lot of these dudes who are on this poster can't do that.
Well, it's funny you say this, because where it really started was, I got another YouTube video. This is how great Halford is. This is how great he is. First of all, did I want him to put on an A game? Did I want to be the child that want to be noticed by the God? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Am I a comic? Yes, but I want him to look and go, he's got something interesting there. He's got a little deeper energy than I anticipated. And I tell you, the first real one was the devil's child. I got a great story for you. We did it right here in this show. A couple years ago, he was coming on. Halford was coming on. Never had him on my show. I had my band locked and loaded to play The Devil's Child. I knew he never played it. I knew if he knew I picked that song, what a deep Priest fan I am, because that song, to me, shows such a vocal range for him, because he goes from the low to the, you took my flesh, and goes super high. And so he literally went out to smoke a cigarette, said he's not going to sing. His publicist said he's promoting this and that, and he hasn't sang in 2 years. Don't ask him. No worries. I was rehearsing my balls off for a month. He goes down, he smokes a cigarette. He comes back in the studio. I start doing The Devil's Child. This is on YouTube. Brewer, Halford, The Devil's Child. He comes in. I totally played it up that I was playing dumb. The point was to get him in there. He got in there. Hasn't sang in years. Just finished a cigarette. No, don't let me pass it to you. None of that. And he belts out Devil's Child like it was nothing. Nothing. He was even reading the lyrics. That's the last time. And when it was over, he looked at me with kind of a smirk, like, all right. But it made me realize he is the God.
Yeah.
I did get it. He understood what I was doing. And when it was finished, he's like, why'd you pick that? I said, Rob, as a fan, that is, please, I'm begging you, please put that song back in the song list if you ever go back at Priest. And Priest came out a couple years later, and that was like the number three song right before Metal Gods. And I always knew maybe a little part of me had that influence, and I'll tell you what,
I think so.
The passion, the love, all that. But that is the first time I realized maybe I can pull this off. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, going through those YouTube videos of you doing your radio show on Sirius and these moments, I mean, yeah, I can see how you don't really get a chance doing comedy to showcase that side of you, but doing the radio show, you've been able to do that. So I knew you did all the impressions that you did. But when I saw those clips, I was just like, oh, this is kind of beyond that. This is a little further. And I want to say, like, how you were saying about this conversation has inspired you to maybe do something after Onwards. You inspired me. When Wacken asked me to speak today, I hadn't done a spoken word show in 8 years, but I said yes. And I knew you did Wacken last year because we did Wacken last year, just not on the same day.
Right.
So when I said yes to this, I started to try and find any clips that any fans in the audience had posted on what you were doing, because I didn't know how to speak to a Wacken audience. And just watching some of the clips that, you know, people did on their phones and stuff really inspired me. And then when you did the promotional clips for Wacken, I saw that. And I copped your style. I went back to our guys and I go, look at this. I got to do this. Because we're not doing the band. I want to erase all doubt. And this is like a wicked promo for Wacken. Because Wacken is a special kind of festival.
Yeah.
And you know that too. By just catering a promo to just this one show, these two shows, you know that this. So if you go on YouTube and you look at your promo for Wacken or your promos and look at mine, you will see that I use the outline for your promos. I have the dates and the times, and then we put the Wacken thing and everything, and I watch yours. So you have inspired me, especially for these 2 days. So I really wanted to meet you and talk to you on many levels. The metal, the SNL, and simply going out in front of an audience and speaking as opposed to singing, because I think we do the other... what the other does in greater form. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do a little bit of the comedy, because today I talked about Kiss for 60 minutes, and it's a lot of conspiracy theories I threw out there about Kiss and stuff like that. I don't want to give it away here, but it's a lot of laughter and a lot of applause, and you do the opposite but the same. So I just wanted to tell you that it's awesome meeting you here at Wacken of all places, because I know you're a huge metalhead.
And here too. Where can people eventually hear that Kiss conspiracy stuff? You got my ear. I'm all in. Where can I drive my audience to listen to you?
Well, Wacken actually today taped both shows with their three camera shoots. So hopefully we'll be able to gather that footage and eventually put it online for someone. I want to kind of take it.
The podcast. Where can my audience listen to the podcast?
The podcast is on iTunes. Just do a search on the official Danko Jones podcast. We've got episodes with Mastodon, Marty Friedman of Megadeth. Him and I, Marty and I just did one a few weeks back, and all we talked about was our love for Kiss.
Dude, I'll tell you what. We will talk after this. We'll exchange numbers, and we'll get into some stuff. You're the type of guy I want to sit down and go, help me with this.
I'd love to.
One particular thought, premise, blah, 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 and let's work on this together. This is awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, brother.
Awesome meeting you, man.
Oh, you too.
You know, and you play it in your head as to how a meeting will go, and it's going kind of the way I wanted it to, so thanks,
awesome.
Dude.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks,
all the best to you. This is Jim Brewer on Fridays on Raw Dog. Don't go anywhere. Live from Wacken, Germany.
Hypnotize me. Mesmerize me. Feel my willpower slip. Light my fire with cold desire. Loosen all my grip. Eat my diamonds.
Eat my diamonds.
Drinking all my gin. Feast your eyes on.
Feast your eyes on.
A whole lot of sin. Oh no, you're so damn wicked. You got me by the throat. You close stuck in there. You never let me go. I believe you're the devil. I believe you're a shitty little child. I believe you're the devil. I believe you're the devil's child. Too much of my treason. Now it seems you're nothing but a liar. Smashing gravel. All ahead, build my funeral pyre. Stop pretending.